Hi, and welcome to the Tuesday Epilepsy Club, Series 3, Episode 4, Memory, or Lack Thereof. A brain may weigh only a little over a kilo, but it's a kilo that contains a whole lifetime of memories. For everyone except me, that is. My memories are disappearing, drowning, gone. There is no doubt my life changed when I started taking lamotrigine. But I just can't work out if it changed for the better. The facts are clear. You either live with the fits or the side effects of the medication. I have fewer fits, but I have less memories. Door A is memory loss caused by prescription drugs, or door B is memory loss caused by injury and sustained seizing. It's obvious which is more dangerous, but surely medication is still my best option. Anything else mentioned always sounded so terrifying, repetitively used the word rehabilitation. My medication offers me a life I would otherwise not be capable of. When I go to the epilepsy clinic, I'm aware doctors would prefer me to do a job which minimises stress. But this lifestyle suits me and my temperament, even if it does not suit my condition. Reading the side effect list of any drug you're taking is a dangerous business. I wouldn't suggest it. Definitely not for the faint-hearted. Even if you have any symptoms, by the time you finish the leaflet, you are riddled with countless imagined ailments. My drugs are supposed to calm me, but each one warns that feelings of anxiety, agitation, aggression, and irritability are not uncommon side effects. I'm sure I have every single one of them. It would be helpful to remind yourself of this in times of extreme stress, but unfortunately, your sense of reality and reason are amongst the first things to go. Add to that the headaches, memory loss, dizziness, the relatively innocuous side effects such as dry mouth, nausea, and insomnia, and you begin to wonder, is taking the medication really worth it? Would you do it? The reality is, you probably would, though not necessarily for the reasons you think. Most people I know won't even take antibiotics. Some had to be talked around into doing the COVID vaccine. On the first day of term, only 42% of Oscar School were known to have taken the COVID vaccine for their children. None of the side effects fill me with confidence, but I know I should be grateful. The treatment for epilepsy has been quite barbaric over the years. In the 4th century BC, genitals of seals and testicles of hippopotamus were offered as a possible treatment, while in the 1st century AD, it was believed people could free themselves of the disease by swallowing the blood of a stabbed gladiator. Until the 1800s, epileptics had often been confined with the insane, and until the 1850s, it was still being discussed whether epilepsy was an infectious disease, and consistent exposure to epilepsy would lead to the disease itself. Treatments at this time included bloodletting and ingesting silver nitrate. In comparison, the possibility of not remembering how we got to hospital after Oscar's fall seems quite benign. That's not to say I haven't been terrified over the years. One of the medications I tried about 15 years ago led to a psychosis and hallucinations, and after being restrained for your own protection in my local Sainsbury's, eating the liver of gladiator doesn't seem quite so appalling. No matter how many years you take the drug, you still ache for the day you no longer need it. The day you are healed. The day your body can function without the help of multicoloured tablets. Hexagonal ones, cream ones, cylindrical ones, orange ones, round ones, pink ones. Tell people I'm fine taking my concoction, and while I may have everybody else fooled, I couldn't fool myself. Earlier this year, after 3 months of being fit-free, I knew it was only a matter of time before I tried to convince my epilepsy doctor I no longer needed my carbamazepine. I was put on it first time when I was 17 and have taken it daily for the last 20 years. I did as I was told. The day has gone by in almost 3 decades where I haven't thought about those long-shaped orange tablets. I knew I couldn't survive without my lamotrigine, but needing one drug less instead of two seemed like an achievement. The move from polytherapy to monotherapy. I could never have foreseen how very, very wrong it would go. 4 weeks after the drug started to be decreased, my fits increased massively, and I suddenly couldn't remember why I was so desperate to take only one drug. I'm sorry for the weeks of pain I put my family through, but I'm glad I did it. It's a great relief not to have to wonder if perhaps the doctors have misjudged your medication or diagnosis. After my debacle in the spring, I can confirm I have epilepsy and I need all three drugs. I have also reaffirmed my belief that you don't necessarily take medication because you feel safer or better or healthier. You take them out of guilt. Yep, you heard me. Guilt. You take them because you know they make your family feel safer and better and healthier. You take them because dying doesn't seem so bad in comparison to leaving behind someone who watched you wreck your life. You take them because in the scheme of things, taking some multicoloured Tic Tacs, which make you feel crap, look all alike, really isn't so bad. Besides, between you and me, the rollicking I've had after missing just one dose is a bit of a turn-off. You did what? How? When? Why? What? What happens now? Armageddon. Really? No. Personally, between you and me, I don't really want to bleat out. I'm doing it alone. Wish me luck. Oh, and don't forget, I want to be cremated and have the ashes buried. What goes on the gravestone, I'll leave to you. But try and make it something poetic. One national newspaper earlier this year wrote about a woman's bravery in coming off her medication in order to have a baby. How stupid is that? I'm not unaware how this could be construed as bravery, but from where I'm sitting, or often lying, this could just as easily be construed as plain stupidity, and talk about giving people the wrong idea. Only once, at the very end of the article, was it mentioned that not everyone would be able to survive without drugs. Yeah. The article bothered me so much that for several days I read it with as much enthusiasm as I could muster, but no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't stop that feeling that I was being judged for not coming off my drugs while I was pregnant. Surely staying on your drugs is also brave. Who do I write to about that? And for that matter, isn't choosing not to have children because of the increased risk also brave? I spent an entire afternoon trying to rationalise my disappointment, but became increasingly bitter, and in the end, just really, really hostile. I decided some people might be able to live with the knowledge their seizures caused somebody else's injury or death, but personally, I don't think my sense of guilt and overwhelming emotion would ever abate, especially bearing in mind I can barely cope with missing one dose. In the next few weeks or months, the fits will start again. But the reality is, nothing. The hiatus will come to an end and normal life will resume. And I'll be left wondering, was it something I ate? Something I did? Something I didn't do? Having no fits is a little bit like spending all winter waiting for the warm weather, then complaining as soon as it gets too hot. Don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying the respite. Seeing life from a continually upright position gives me a new lease of life. I have more energy, more enthusiasm. But some cracks are beginning to show. My short-term memory is getting better. I remembered every meeting, club and appointment last week, all 25 of them. Mine, the kids, and I didn't even write half of them down. Small achievement, perhaps, but exciting, nevertheless. My short-term memory is a mess. I have a vague recollection of lots of things, like a jigsaw puzzle that doesn't fit together. I've gone from being able to recite long passages and books to not even being able to remember if I've read them. It's an amazing book. Have you read it? I don't know. I'm not avoiding answering the question. I really don't know. There are gaps before I had epilepsy, but the biggest area of concern is my late 20s and early 30s. I don't remember offhand what time Oscar and Kurt were born. Is that terrible? I know the dates and I remember their births, but shouldn't a mother know what time her children were born without having to look it up? I remember my wedding. I remember the speeches, the dancing, my dress. But I can't remember my hen night. We chartered a yacht. We went to the Isle of Wight. But despite not drinking any alcohol, I don't remember a thing about the trip. Other than the boat was white, I think. We were gone for 3 nights. Nothing. Not having regular fits has highlighted how bad my memory actually is. This is tragic. I've spent so much time hoping the fits would stop, it never even occurred to me to be scared what I might find once the fog lifted. My brain has been repeatedly battered for over 3 decades, and it's bound to have an effect. With the right exercises, some of my brain function might return, but by the time I sort out the regular regime, I'm likely to be in the midst of my next set of seizures and I'll forget I even had a problem. Ignorance is bliss. The post-fit grogginess is isolating, but it also protects you. You can hide behind it, telling yourself, you knew that. Of course you knew that. You would have remembered, but you had a fit. There have been no fits, but the memory has not improved. I can't remember people's names or restaurants I've eaten in. A few things look familiar, maybe, but nothing worth mentioning. Certainly not enough to start a conversation about. My father told me not to worry. I may not be having fits, but I'm still taking the medication, and that's bound to have an effect. How astute would I be if I wasn't wrapped in cotton wool? What must it be like to be normal? Everything was clear, fresh, odourless. It was fantastic. Finally, I understand why people with bipolar disorder reject their medication. If mine wasn't keeping me alive, I'm not sure I'd stick with it either. Would you? Bits of me dropping off, falling away. Bits started, followed by toxic poisoning, caused by an increase in lamotrigine, and that feeling became a distant, very distant memory. Soon, it won't even be that. Not alone with this affliction does not help. By tomorrow morning, you will have forgotten the name of who keeps you company down here anyway, or you'll forget you even knew someone that might have the same problem. Trying not to become self-obsessed in these situations is harder than you might think. In his memoir on writing, novelist Stephen King wrote candidly about his alcoholism. There's one thing about Cujo, I barely remember writing it at all. I do not say this with pride or shame, only with a vague sense of sorrow and loss. Reading this, I feel no envy. I feel nothing at all, really. He beat his affliction. With continuing treatment, he has a good chance of complete recovery. Sobriety beckons. Some memories are lost forever, but he will be able to form new ones. This is not an option for me. My memory will only get worse, and one day I will read through this book, and every word will be a revelation. My own life as familiar as a stranger's. I'm in a worse position than an alcoholic. How many of you can say that? Thanks for joining me. I've been reading to you from my best-selling book, Fits and Starts. Hope you tune in again soon. Take care. Bye.